All right. So today we're going to continue on with Learn from Jesus. How do you know if we're going to learn from somebody in the Bible, Jesus is probably the right one to do it from, right? He's the right one to listen to. The first week we talked about overcoming temptation, how Satan works with Jesus' natural desires in this story that we read, and how he probes for weaknesses, how he attempts to sow seeds of doubt, how he uses scripture to his own end. How many of you know you can twist scripture to mean what you want it to mean in your own mind, right? Doesn't make it right. Right? There's a right way and a wrong way to interpret and to apply what the Bible says in your life. And that's why it says in there, a workman not needing to be ashamed, not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. How many of you know we can do it differently? And Satan does that in our minds and uses scripture to bring us about. And that's what he did with Jesus. And Jesus used the only weapon that can defeat that. And what is that? The word of God. What does the word of God say? That was the first week. If you missed that, go back, check it out. Second week, we talked about new birth and Nicodemus. And what does it mean to be reborn? How many of you know, if there's no change, then you need to look at your life and your relationship with God again, right? If I've said a prayer and my life stays exactly the same as it was and there is no change, then we need to go back and revisit, okay? Because the scripture says that old things are passed away, everything's made new. So everything has changed. Now, there is going to be some things that we struggle with getting rid of, but there's going to be a change. And one of the main changes that's going to happen is our heart and the way we perceive things, the way we look at people, and the way we act. And so go back and listen to that week two. Last week, we talked about faith in the storm. My favorite point from last week, y'all know how I am about favorite points. My favorite point from last week was that Jesus showed them how to handle the situation in chapter 4, and then in chapter 6, he sent them off and they were on their own. How are you going to handle the situation? How many know he gets us ready for the battles that are coming? He gets us ready. Some of us are just not very good students at that point, right? And we get in the middle of it. How many of you ever learned and studied and studied and studied for a test when you were back in school? And then as soon as the test went in front of you, your mind was like a clean sheet of paper. Like, I don't know. I don't even know my name. I can't even write it on the paper. So that happens sometimes. But this is the thing. When we walk by the Spirit, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, he's the one that teaches us. He's the one that brings us back to our remembrance the things that we need according to Scripture. And so if you missed last week, go and check that out, man. I have enjoyed this series. Of course, I'm on giving it. So of course, I like it a little bit. But this week, we're going to talk about the faith to push through. And again, sometimes we get in the middle of a situation and for one reason or another, we stop. We give up, right? And the problem with giving up is that you never reach the end. You never get to where you're supposed to be. Remember, we talked about the Israelites and fear stopping them and taking 40 years. And because of their fear, there was a whole generation that never got to see the promised land, that died in the wilderness, right? And so fear can keep us from that. But this is wrong expectations can also keep us from that, right? Time frames that we put on what God's going to do in our lives. And sometimes we get in the position where we get frustrated and so we stop. And because of that, we miss out on what God can do. Today we're going to talk about a lady in the Word of God, and she came to Jesus and she just continually pushed through. But I want to show you some. How many know we find a lot of stuff in the Word of God, but we can also see the same principles in the world, right? That has nothing to do with God. We can see this. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. There was a team that was sent out to conquer Mount Everest and they failed. So they got George Mallory, which is one of the finest explorers of the day. They gave him the finest equipment available, unlimited budget, and he was wiped out in an avalanche, never made it to the top. A bunch of mountaineers met at a hotel in London to honor them who had fallen in the great attempt, and the last speaker charged it, put his glass in the air and turned to face a picture, a large picture of Mount Everest that was behind him. And he said, "Mount Everest, I'm talking to you. I want to tell you, Mount Everest, we've tried to beat you once and failed. We tried to beat you twice and failed. And then we tried again with Mallory and failed. But Everest, Mount Everest, I want to tell you something. You're not getting any bigger, but we are." And then there were 10 attempts between 1921 and 1952 before the New Zealander, Sir Edmund Hillary, successfully climbed the mountain. Right? How many of you know because of failures, because of failed attempts, we can tend to want to give up, right? We can tend to want to stop, but we need to keep pushing through. And when we do that, we're going to reach the prize. We're going to reach the prize. How many of you know sometimes in your life when things start going wrong, some of the first things we say is, man, I'm done with this. I'm done with God. I'm just going to go back to doing it myself. Well, it didn't really work out for us well the first time. And if God makes everything better, what do you think it's going to look like later, right? Think this thought, man. When God allows us to be in a situation, again, he's teaching us, he's training us so that when the bigger situation comes later, we're able to handle it. We're able to go through it. Because again, and I've said this before, but it's a true statement, so I'm going to say it again. When I was in kindergarten, my tests were hard. You give me a kindergarten test now, I'm going to ace it, right? Straight A's through kindergarten is where I'm going to be at right now. Why? Because I've gone past that, and that difficult time in my life as a kindergartner trying to learn A's and not write threes backwards and all that kind of stuff is over. And I don't have that. Well, I still write the threes backwards sometimes, but just give me some grace, okay? But it's one of those things, right? We learn and we grow, and it's because of the hard times now that we're able to do different things later. And the thing about it is that we need to not give up. Everybody say, don't give up. All right. So the first thing that we're going to talk about in our scripture, I'm going to read you the story. Point one in your notes, because I didn't know what else to say. We're going to learn about the woman. So we're going to learn about the woman, and that's what the point one is going to be. And then we'll get to some other points that make more sense. I just couldn't figure that one out. So it's okay. But Matthew chapter 15, 21 through 28 says this. It says, and Jesus went from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Today, we're going to learn about pushing through. And so we look at this story, and how many of you know, a lot of us look at it like, how? Jesus said that? Like, how? Why did? I don't understand. How many of you think that thought out of what I just said? But like, that's very uncharacteristic of Jesus, right? That doesn't seem right. We're going to talk a little bit about it, and I'm going to explain some things. Again, not understanding the culture of the day changes everything. Changes everything. And I'm going to explain a little bit, okay? So to understand this passage, first of all, we need to understand some things about the woman that came to Jesus. First of all, she was a Canaanite. Canaanites were traditional enemies of the Jews, of the Jewish people, right? So they were sworn enemies. Remember the Hatfields and McCoys a long time ago? No, we not talking. We're not going to meet in the middle. You go that way. I go that way. If we meet in the middle, we're going to fight. That was Jews and Canaanites, right? So they were enemies to start with. Being a Canaanite, that also makes her a Gentile, right? Most of us, unless you're Jewish, we're all Gentiles. So I'm really glad that the thought process has changed from then to now. Amen? It's important to understand that she is a Gentile because at this time, according to the Jewish laws and the way they did things, is Gentiles had no stake or claim to anything that the Jews were given. So any promise that was in the Word of God was not made to a Gentile. It was made to Abraham and his descendants, which were Jewish, okay? So for this lady to come and say, Jesus, take care of this for me, he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. Now we understand, you start thinking like, well, man, that sounds kind of like what we deal with today. That sounds pretty racist, you know, just because you're a different background. And let me say this about racism. We've come a long way, but we're nowhere close to where we need to be. Okay, as a country, as a people, if you have an issue with people that are different than you, if you get to heaven, when you get there, you're going to be mad, right? Because you're going to be standing next to God's children, and it's all of us, right? Remember the little song, red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in the sight, that God loves all of us, and he made a way for us to come in. And so we look at that, and we say, man, hold up, wait a minute. What's the difference in the Jews and the Gentiles? Paul says this about the Gentiles. This is how he describes it in Romans chapter 9, verses, or about the Jews, I'm sorry, between 9 chapters 3 or verses 3 through 5, it says, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and they belong to the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. So this is the thing. None of the promises, none of the covenants that were given to Abraham applied to the Gentiles. None of them. So for her to be able to come, she didn't have a claim on his side. She didn't have an ability to come and talk to him like that. But this is the thing. Driven by her love and her desperation because her daughter was severely demonized, she called out to Jesus and said, Lord, Son of David, this is the thing. She said, I know who you are. You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. Now, her religion doesn't believe that. A lot of the Jewish religion didn't believe that. Paul was still battling it and going through it. But she came to him, and the first thing she did was stated who he was and that he had the ability and the power to take care of any need or issue that she had. A statement of faith saying, I know you can do this. I know who you are. You know, until we truly realize who Jesus is, we can't receive things from God. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So until we recognize who he is, what he was sent to do, and what he's already done for us, we can't receive any of the promises that God has for us. How crazy is that? She recognized him, and she said, I know who you are. I know that you're able to do this. And how is she able to know this? How is she able to know this? Well, she saw the fruit of his life. She had heard what he had done. Do you know, not the words that you speak, but the actions that you do are what's most powerful in your life. That's how people are going to know who you are. Who is he? Well, he does this and he does that and he does this and he's this and he treats people this way. How do they know? Not because I say I love everybody. I can say I love everybody and be rude and disrespectful to the world. It happens to me every now and then. I go about like, look, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry, right? The actions, what God has done, what Jesus had already accomplished. She was looking at that and saying, I understand who you are and what you can do, and I need you to help me. So Mark gives us a little bit more information about this thing because we were in Matthew, but the book of Mark, he goes over this story as well. And he says this in Mark 7:24. He says, and from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. Like he was like the rock star of the day. Everybody wanted to come and see him. Everybody came from miles around just to hang out with him. And you think this thought, we think about him just walking around with 12 guys. There were thousands of people that followed him for 3 years, 3.5 years. They were there constantly. Again, how do we know that? We go back to the book of Acts when they were trying to replace Judas, and they said, we need somebody that's been with us from the beginning. So there were guys that had followed them that weren't a part of the inner 12, right? That weren't a part of the disciples, people that had walked and had been there. So Jesus was trying to get away from everything. How many of you know sometimes you get burned out and you don't want to mess with nobody? Right? Do you know that sometimes that's when the most important ministry that you're ever going to do is going to take place? When you don't feel like it. When you don't want to do it. When you're like, man, just leave me alone. Right now, don't you see I'm battling? But do you know what? In the middle of battling your issue, in stopping and taking care of other people, that ends up giving you strength to get through your own battle. It changes everything. Look at the book of Job. When did his luck change? When did his position change? When he started praying for his friends. And not, oh, poor me. Look at what's going on in my life. It's so horrible, me. He started saying, you know what? I'm in a rough shape, but they are too. I'm going to help them. And what ended up happening? Everything changed. Jesus goes away and he's relaxing, and this is one of the only recorded times in scripture when Jesus ventured outside of the Israelite territory. This time right here. This is the only time. Right? He was already too famous even when he left here. So this is hilarious. I used to work with this dude. named JD, right? Now, he was the general manager of a chemical company that I ran in Baton Rouge, or is in Hammond, Louisiana, but right outside of Baton Rouge. And JD knew everybody. You know those kind of people that, like, you walk in someplace, they're like, hey, JD, how you doing? I'm like, dude, is there anybody you don't know? We drove up into Mississippi to go to a place. We stop and walk into a gas station. Like, we're 2 hours from our house. We walk into the gas station, and the lady behind the counter was like, hey, JD, how are you doing? I'm like, dude, seriously? How do people, like, know you everywhere? That's what it was for Jesus. No matter where he went, people had heard. People knew who he was. He couldn't go anywhere and have a rest or a break. And this is what happened. Mark 3, 7 and 8. It says, Jesus withdrew to the sea, and a great crowd followed him from Galilee to Judea and from Jerusalem to Idiom and from beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all he was doing, they came to him. They came from everywhere to be with him. They all understood, again, going back to it, they understood who he was and what he was capable of. When you start to understand that in your life, everything is going to change. And until you come to grips with that, you're never going to have the life that you should. And I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect and come to Jesus is going to be all rainbows and Skittles. I mean, I really like rainbows. I love Skittles, but it's not going to be that. You're going to have some of that brown candy that's in that orange wrapper that you get at Halloween. You know what I'm talking about? You're going to get some bad stuff sometimes. You're going to get some things that are just going to, you're going to have to go through. And the thing about it is you can't give up. You can't give up. No doubt this lady had heard from others. She came to him in desperation. And this is the one thing that we see about her situation. It doesn't tell us that the type of manifestation that the demon manifestation took in her daughter's life. We read in other places in Mark 9, man came to Jesus because his son had a demon and there were symptoms. He was deaf and dumb, convulsions, foaming at the mouth, falling down, gnashing his teeth, going rigid. He said there was... If that wasn't enough to cope with, his son would even throw himself in the fire or try to throw himself off a cliff to kill himself, right? And that all came from it. It doesn't tell us what happened. How many of you know my kids are a nightmare sometimes and ain't none of them a part of it, right? Right? There's some stuff. Imagine being a parent and watching your child suffer with these things. The desperation, the love that's there. Do you know what happens? Love makes you do things you wouldn't normally do. She came to Jesus. Mark tells us that she fell at his feet and she kept asking him, cast out the demon, cast out the demon. Please, please, please help. Please take care of this. Please take care of this. And Jesus' unexpected response, that's number two. He has two unexpected responses here that we see. And the first one is this. He ignored her. Matthew 15, 23. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away from us, for she is crying out after us. Again, it says he didn't say a thing, but she kept asking. She kept annoying. The disciples in the Toby translation, can you please get rid of her? She's bugging us. She's just, this is an annoying woman. Just give her whatever she wants so she'll go away. Why didn't he answer us? Why didn't he answer? Some people think that it was because she was a Gentile, because of the race issue. But we know that this isn't true. It can't be true. And I can explain why. In Matthew chapter 8, right? Verses 5 through 13, a man came and pleaded with Jesus to heal his servant. I'm going to read this right now, and I want you to understand. He was Roman descent, so he wasn't Jewish. Second of all, he never says that his servant was Jewish. He never said what his servant was. And how many of you know, in this day, they had slaves and servants from all over the world that were there, right? And so he comes to him, verse 5, he says, when he had come to Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. So he didn't ask any questions. The guy came and said, come take care of him. And he knows exactly who he is. You know, they got the uniforms. They're coming. Hey, here it is, please. And he said, okay, I'll come. So if it was a problem with the cultural background, Jesus would have never taken care of this person either. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy that you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he and he goes, and I say another one, come, and he comes to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to his followers, truly I tell you, no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion, Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you believe. And the servant was healed at that very moment. Faith changes everything. Your perspective on your situation changes everything. We see time and time again, people came to Jesus and said, Jesus, do this like this. And he's like, you know what? Your faith is, so be it. The woman with the issue of blood, if I could just touch his garment, I ain't even got to say nothing to him. If I could just barely touch him, I'll be changed. What happened? Barely touch him. She was changed. Do you know what we lack in our situations? Faith. Faith. Do you understand that according, and like we talked about last week, and people say think it gets weird when I say stuff like this, and it's okay. I'm a little weird at times, but this is a solid statement, right? What happens is we have the ability to speak to things and them completely and totally change in our life. Do you know how I know that? Because Jesus did it. And he said, these things will you do, the things I do, will you do, only greater. It's time we started speaking to our situation through the word of God and saying, this needs to change. It's not going to happen no more. This thing that's holding on to me is going to be gone and I'm done with it. And have the faith that it's going to happen. Do you know, this is a Toby opinion. I'm going to share it with you. Do you know why things happen overseas and they don't happen here in other countries? You know why people's arms unwither and they receive their sight and they're completely and totally healed from different things? Do you know why that happens? Because they got nothing to do but believe God. We're going to go to the doctor and get a pill for it. Now, look. I go to a doctor. I take the pills they give me. I mean, I'm not saying that that's wrong. God gives us wisdom. He gives us medicine. He gives us things. There's a lot of things he's placed on us, and we need to do our part. But at the same time, we need to look to him and say, God, you're the only one that can fix this, not these people. If the doctor says you need to get this done or you're going to die, I'll probably get it done if it was me, right? And I would believe God that he was going to use the medicine to do it. How many of you know he can do that too? He can do whatever he wants. He's God. But there's sometimes we look at it and we say, we don't understand why you're doing these things. And why is that? He could have told the woman to get lost, but he didn't. He didn't say anything. When he talked to the centurion man, he said, I'm going to do it. It's done. It's already done. Your faith is amazing. Do you know what happened? Everyone that was around there saw the faith of this man and saw the healing that came from it. And what ended up happening? Strengthened their faith so that they too could believe. They too could believe. If you'll do it for him, you can do it for me. That's, again, man, that's why our testimony is so important. Because if God could do it for me, look, I mean, I like to think that I am, but I'm not better than nobody else. Just to be honest. I'm just be mean for a minute. Y'all ready for me to be mean? You're not any better than anybody else. God loves all of us the same. And he's waiting to do things and to help his children through the situations. So going back to why didn't Jesus answer her and why did he answer her in the way that we're going to talk about in a minute. Sometimes I believe that God wants to draw something out of us and show us something we don't already know ourselves. Or, again, why did Jesus ask people questions when he already knew the answer? See what they knew? So that they could say for themselves the situation, the position they were in. When Bartimaeus is standing there with a blind beggar's coat and he's yelling, hey, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus looked over at him. I'm pretty sure he knew he was blind. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure. Like, he looked over, he's got the blind beggar's coat, and he's like, have mercy on me. And he's sitting there where they beg and get alms all day long, right? I'm pretty sure Jesus already knew the answer, but what did he do? He said, what do you want me to do for you? And what did he say? That I would receive my sight. That is a statement of faith saying, this is where I'm at. This is where I want to be, and you can take me there. You can do it. All throughout the Word of God, people come to him and say, hey, I want to do this. He goes to the paralytic laying at the pool of Bethesda. We talked about this not too long ago. He's like, hey, how come you're laying here? He's like, because I ain't got nobody. He makes an excuse. I ain't got nobody to put me in there. He's like, well, I'm right here, and you don't even have to go in there if you want to get up and walk away. He's like, all right. He gets up and walks away. But what does he do? He makes him say what he wants. Do you know what our problem is? We don't go to God and say what we want. We hold on to it. We keep it. Again, we try to hide it. We need to go to God and not tell him how to fix it, but say, God, this is what I need fixed. Please. Please. This is what I need fixed. Maybe he wants to draw a higher level of commitment out of us to him. You know what happens when anybody faces a battle? They start coming to church regularly. I'm just be real. Y'all, I see it all the time. Then as soon as it gets over with, it'll be another 6 months until the next struggle comes. And then I'm going to get real with God. I'm going to get faithful. What would happen if you were faithful with him all along? I'm not trying to be mean, y'all. I'm trying to get us to look at our lives and say, what do we need to do? Maybe he wants a stronger expression of our faith. Maybe it's a greater intensity of desire that he's looking for in us. Maybe he understands that we're not at rock bottom yet, and if he gets us out of the situation, we're going to jump back in the mud. Maybe he's like, I know you haven't learned yet, so we're just going to let you walk through it a little bit longer. Don't worry, I'm here. But you know what? I didn't see Jesus till I was flat on my back looking up with nothing and said, I can't do this no more, man. I can't. And you know what happened? He changed everything. So maybe he wanted to draw something out of her. Maybe there's a better time frame for his answer. Because you know he doesn't work on our clock, right? Y'all know that, right? So y'all remember Victor? We call him Bucktop. He was from Russia. We text each other and talk back and forth, and I send him hamburgers, and he says, man, I wish I had one, and you know, all kinds of stuff. But he sends me pictures of snow. Well, what happened was is he's been trying to sell this phone. He had a phone. He got a new phone. He'd been trying to sell it for a couple months. I was really frustrated because nobody would buy his phone. And he's very kind of aggravated with it, but understanding, hey, you know, maybe whatever. And then something happened, and he was offered a job that he has to use his laptop for, but he had just broken his laptop. So he can't get the money to fix the laptop unless he gets the job. He can't get the job unless he has the fixed laptop. Y'all know how that situation looks hopeless? And how we get in those all the time. And we prayed about it. He's like, man, I need a miracle. Please pray with me. And I sent back a prayer. Hey, God, man, fix this. I sent it to him. Do you know the next day it sold? He was able to fix the laptop, and now he can do the job. Right? So, but this is the thing. He's like, man, when he texts me back and says, God is good. This is what happened. I said, do you know why he didn't let you sell that phone before? Because you'd have spent that money on something else, and you wouldn't have it for provision for now. And we look at God and say, God, why are you not answering our prayers? Why are you not doing what we want to do? See, because if I do it now, you're going to ruin it. If I do it now, you're going to ruin it. How many of you know? If he does stuff ahead for me, man, like he sends me money ahead of time, then when I need it, look, I'm buying like 6 things on Amazon, y'all. And then it's coming, and I'm like, I sure wish I had the money. And April's like, so I told you not to spend it. That's just how that works at our house, right? She's like, I told you not to do that. I told you. So then Jesus responds in another way. that to us looks kind of weird, looks kind of different. And we're kind of like, this doesn't fit him. But again, understanding the culture, he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, healing Gentiles is not my mission. It's not what I came to do. I came to do this. And you're asking me to do that. This is the problem. This is the problem. And I'm not saying Jesus did wrong. He did what he did, and I understand why he did it. We're going to talk about it. But I want us to look at our lives and think this thought. Just because this is what we're supposed to do doesn't mean that we can't take care of the need over here, because it's a need that needs to take care of, and we can do it. Let me give you an example, right? I'm the pastor of the church. But you know what? If the trash needs to be taken out, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to call somebody else, tell them, take out the trash. That's not my job. No. Take the trash out. When I first started a church, one of the first churches that I was a part of planting, it was called Heartsease Family Life Center. And I've told you guys this before, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We used to get this place called the Deluxe Inn, and we would rent out this conference center that they had in the back of this hotel that was like an hourly hotel or whatever, you know, back in Baton Rouge. It's a rough place, but they had this spot, and it was cheap, and we could have church there, right? And so every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, we would get there to set up for 11 o'clock church service, because of the things that had happened the night before with the bachelor parties and bachelorette parties and the raves and the different things that they had rented this place out for, that it was disgusting in this place. And do you know what my job was every Sunday? I didn't get to unload the trailer and put up the sound equipment and hook wires together. I should have learned that earlier, but I didn't know how, right? I didn't get to do that. Do you know what I got to do? I got to clean the toilets. I got to clean the bathrooms, clean all the nasty filth that had been there from the evening before, so that it would be ready for church on Sunday. And this isn't a pat on the back. This is the thought process that we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to make the will of God come to pass in people's life. We need to do whatever it takes, not be like, well, I don't need to do this. I don't need. Listen, we're going to do something. We tried to do it before. It's on my notes later. We tried to do a community barbecue right before COVID hit. We had the signs made. We had the stuff made up. We had the flyers done. One of the things we did at our last committees is said, we need to get back to doing that. And so we're planning on doing that in April, right? April, the 10th is a Saturday, and then the 17th is when we want to do it. This is what we need to do. We need people that are willing to go out of their comfort zone. You want me to explain how I need you to do it? We're going to walk this community and hand out flyers to people in their homes, because this is the community we're trying to reach, the people that are right here. I need some people on that Saturday before that are willing to come and say, I'm going to give up half of my Saturday to walk around and be so uncomfortable. It's like, we're having a free barbecue. Would you like to come? How many of you that's exciting to go do? Y'all really want to go do that? There's like three of you. Everybody else is like, nope. Nope. Can I clean the toilets or something? Right? That's what's going on in their mind right now. Anything but going and talking to people and passing stuff out. But do you know what? Sometimes in the middle of us stepping out of our comfort zone, stepping out of what we normally do, stepping out of what we're there to do, changes lives forever. And we need to be willing to say, hey, it's a little outside of my wheelhouse, but man, if it needs to be done, I'll do it. Now, this wasn't out of Jesus' wheelhouse. I'm using the principle and the story to show you what we need to be doing. Healing Gentiles isn't part of my mission. But you've got to admire this lady, because she didn't stop. She's like, I don't care that it's not your job. I know you can do it. And again, as a Gentile, she had no claim to Jesus, the covenants, the promises. Jesus was ignoring her, but she knew that he was the Messiah. She knew that he could set her daughter free. She loves her daughter. Again, love propels people to go into places they would otherwise never go. I'll be so uncomfortable for my girls if they need it. My daughters, I will. I will. And that's not just you're saying it now, but you ain't do it. I'll do it. I promise you with my girls. But do you know what? I should be willing to do that for everybody, not just my girls. Maybe that's something I need to work on. Maybe that's my point for today that God's talking to me about. One of the things that we see Jesus always doing, this is number three in your notes, Jesus always uses teachable moments. He always uses teachable moments. Again, asking a question he already knows the answer to, not just because he needs the answer, but maybe the person asking the question needs to say it out loud for themselves. Or maybe the disciples that are standing there need to hear it. Maybe the crowd that's standing there needs to hear this person say, I can't walk. I've been lame since I was a kid. Get up and walk away. And they think, wow, look at what he did. Again, faith. Back to faith. Back to faith. Jesus answers her in this time and says another statement that we're like, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to explain a little bit. He answered, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. How many of you, to us, that sounds like a real slap in the face, calling her a dog. And this is the thing, Gentiles were known, were referred to as dogs by the Jews. But this is the thing, it was, how many of you know we have some words that are the same but mean different things, right? Or we can use a term that explains something that explains it completely different over here. So what he's saying right here, he's not calling her a mangy mutt that's on the street. He's using a word that describes like my dog at home, Socks. Socks is part of my family, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but at my home, Socks is part of my family. And actually, I was studying this yesterday morning, and I got up, and then we went I went and laid down, and you got to know how our stuff is. April was here with Shelby, and I was here with Sydney, and we were talking about stuff, and something came up about Socks being part of the family. And she is a part of the family, but she said, how come Socks likes you more than she likes anybody else? And she'll listen to you more than she listens to anybody else, right? And this sounds kind of bad, but just hear me out through the whole thing. I said, because dogs, animals, they have an order that they do things in, right? They in the animal community, they have an alpha male which runs everything, and then everyone else listens to them and has their place. We see the girls learn this from my mom and dad. They had three dogs, and Socks came over. Socks was the fourth dog that was there. And my dad, when he gives out treats, he uses the pecking order to give out what he gives. So they all sit around, and he's like, Ted. Ted's the oldest. He's the smallest. It's like, Ted, come here. And everybody else sits there, and Ted gets his treat. He goes and sits back down. And Sugar Bear, come here. Sugar comes up. She gets her treat. She goes, Darcy Dog, come here. He gets his treat. And Socks, come get his treat. The first time Socks was over there and my dad went with treats, Socks was like, what up? I'm here. All in the middle of it. He's like, no, you go over there. And she kind of put her head down, and she walked over there and like was looking at him like, what in the world's happening here? Because you don't do that at my house. She's the only dog, right? So yeah, I'm going to get to the point, y'all. Just hang with me. So The whole process came. She learned her place as to where she was at in the pecking order of what was going on. Jesus right here is explaining what Paul talks about in the scripture as well. Let me get down to where that's at. Yeah, Romans 1:16. Paul says this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jews, and also to the Greeks. So it comes not only to the Jews, and they're the ones that first got the promises. They're the ones that it was given to. The Gentiles weren't given that. And at this time, even though God, man, if you look all through the Old Testament, he talks about how everybody's going to come and be a part of the kingdom. Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed because of you. Jesus is born. Goodwill, peace on earth to all men, right? Everybody gets it. It's for everybody. But at this time, it's only for the Jews. It hasn't been given to the Gentiles yet. Even though God has set it up and it's there and it's available, not yet. There was an order and a priority to the gospel as well. First the Jews, then the Gentiles. First the Jews, and then us. Jesus is saying, my mission is first to the house of Israel. They were the children sitting at the table. Again, back to my dog Socks. I love Socks. Me, April, Sydney, and Shelby sit down to have dinner. Right? We have this beautiful table that was given to us as a table. We got a chair on each end, and then we have the benches on both sides, right? Like picnic benches. Right? So when we sit down to dinner, I sit on my bench part, and April's there, and Sydney's there, and Shelby's there. Socks jumps up on the thing. It's like, all right, your family, it's time for dinner. And so we say, okay, would you like some pot roast and carrots and potatoes? She's like, yes, I would. Because she's a dog. She wants everything, right? No, that's not what happens. We're like, hey, get down. You don't belong here right now. She's a part of the family. It's not because I don't love her. I love Socks, man. If something happened to Socks, man, it'd be bad for y'all for a little bit. Because I'd just be like, oh, Socks, my dog, right?
That's what would happen. I love socks. She's a part of the family. But there's certain times when things happen with the family that doesn't happen with other people. You guys see what I'm saying? Is it making sense why he's answering her in this way? He's not being disrespectful. He's not being rude. He's just saying, hey, this is how it is right now. And I'm here to take care of these people, not to take care of you right now. All the healing and the deliverance and the promises, they were God's children's bread that was given to the children. But the Canaanite woman was a smart woman. How many of you know there's some people with a quick wit and can fire back on a dime? My kids are one of them. They just pop back with all kind of crazy stuff. They get it from Grandma Tootsie. I'm just saying. Just so y'all know, they get it from the Toots. Anyway. She understood that Jesus wasn't insulting her, that he was using an analogy to explain what was going on. If you look all through the Word of God, that's how Jesus talks to people. Parables, analogies. Hey, this is the principle. This is so you understand it. Why do I tell you about socks eating at a table? Because I want you to understand the principle that's behind it. I don't really care if you know that socks jumps up on a table and I tell her to get down. That's not the point. The point is the principle behind it. Jesus did that constantly. Constantly. And that's how a lot of us learn. A lot of us read the Bible and be like, okay, I don't get it. And somebody be like, oh, it's like this. You're like, oh, okay, I understand now, right? She understood he wasn't insulting her. He was using an analogy to explain the priorities. But this is what happened. Number four in your notes. Again, I've been saying this all the time. Never give up in the middle of your situation. What would have happened when Jesus didn't answer her if she would have left? What would have happened if Jesus said that to her and she got offended and took off? What would have happened? Do you know what she said? She's like, I don't care. I don't care. You don't care? You ain't going to talk to me. I'm going to keep talking to you. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care that I think you're not listening to me or you don't care about what's happening. I'm going to keep coming to you. Do you know what? If our prayers, we would just keep bringing them to God, because this is one of the things that the enemy tries to do. He tries to get you to stop. Yes. He tries to get you to get frustrated before the breakthrough comes. He tries to get you to say, man, he's just not listening. He just don't care about me. I'm done. And walk away from God. Confusion. Division. Frustration. That's what he tries to do. And so when we stop, guess what happens? Our daughter never gets healed. We go away sad, frustrated, upset, mad at God because he didn't listen to us. When maybe right now is not the time for him to give this to you. Maybe there's something that you need to learn in the process of it. I love what Miss Joyce used to say, right? Miss Joyce, she used to say, God put me here, maybe, to talk to the people and the nurses and the people that are around me. She tells a story about Home Depot. She went to Home Depot. The lady has scleroderma, same as she did. She didn't know what was going on. Ms. Joy, one of the first times she had gotten out, right? It's one of the first times she left the house after being diagnosed and having some rough times. And Jeff went to Home Depot, and she went with him. And she saw the lady behind the counter, and she said, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? And the lady's like, I don't know. The doctors can't tell me. She's like, I'm going to tell you exactly what it is because this is what I have. Do you know what? God used her that day to speak into that woman's life and to show her what she needed. Do you know, in the middle of our situations, if we'll take the issues that we've got and we'll use those issues to speak into the lives of other people that are battling with those issues, freedom will come not only to them but to us. Blessing will come not only to them but to us. What would happen to Miss Joyce? Said, like, nope, I ain't going out no more. I'm done. I'm staying at the house. That woman never would have received what she was supposed to receive. You say, well, how come I have this sickness? How come this is going on in my life? I don't know. Maybe you're there to speak to the doctors or the nurses or one of the other patients that's battling through the same thing that you are, but farther back behind you. And you can say, hey, I know what's going on. This is where you're at. This is what's happening. This is how it's going to feel. You know what? I can do that with people who have drug addiction. I can do that. People who are alcoholics, I can do that. Why? Because I came through all of that. And I can say, look, this is where I was, and now look at where I'm at. And can you tell that that's where I was at? They're like, no. Like, that's what God can do for you. But what happens if I give up because I'm struggling in my situation and God just ain't listening and I just don't see an answer and I just don't see a resolution? I'm getting frustrated because it ain't in my time. She said, I ain't giving up. This is what she said. She said, yes, I know that children have priority and they get fed first. But the pet dog is still hanging around like a vacuum underneath the table, ready to clean up any crumbs that come their way. I'm ready to take anything you're ready to throw me. And I want it. And I'm not going to leave. You know how many times I make socks get away from the table? And then I look down and she's right there again. I'm like, get away from the table. You don't listen very well. Do you know what I end up doing? Don't tell my wife. She's in another room. She don't know. Yeah, she sees me. It's okay. She nailed it, man. Jesus said, you know what? All right. Because of the faith that you have, because you're not going to give up, because you're going to push through and continue on and continue on and continue on, I'm gonna help you. But this is what ends up happening. We give up long before that point. Again, how many of us would have given up when Jesus kept ignoring her? Like, well, must not be God's will. Guess I'll just have to go home and learn how to cope with this situation. How many of us would have given up the second time when he said, I wasn't here to take care. I'm here to, except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm here for the Jews, not for you. You're not a Jew. This doesn't belong to you. How many of us would have given up then? Look, I have a sister. One of my sisters is Lacey. I'm just going to tell you who it is. She is amazing at not giving up when people tell her no. Like, amazing. Like, I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about, like, insurance. She deals with insurance companies and doctors and different offices, and she does it with my mom and with my dad and with this and with that and the other. Do you know that a lot of times insurance companies deny your claim at first so they don't have to take care of it, even though they should be taking care of it? Because you'll give up and they won't have to take care of it. I'm just be real. Do you know how many times my sister has said no, have been told no for stuff for myself or my, but like the whole, she's the one that does it for the family because she's just good at it, right? Do you know how many times she's been told no about things and she's gone 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, okay, we'll take care of it now. Like, we'll have another 7 times. What if we would have gave up? We get in the position where we come to God or we bring things or we're in a situation we don't get out of it and we give up instead of pushing through, continue on. Man, if it's something that you want, if it's not opposed to God's word, keep asking. I wonder how many churches, how many of the church of America, of the world, are sitting next to or are a church of people who've given up on the ministries, on the dreams, on the things God has for them because it got difficult, it got tired, it got frustrating. It didn't come in the time that we thought it should. Think this thought. How many, okay. I'm not going to say how many people. I'm going to tell you. I don't know exactly the number, but I'm going to give out some people. David was anointed king. It wasn't until years later he was actually the king. Joseph was given a dream at 17. In his 40s, the dream came true. And we're going to pray for a day and a half, and it ain't coming through, and we're going to stop. But you said, God. Just be honest. Do you know why God, this is me. I'm not saying y'all, I'm saying me. Do you know why God doesn't tell me stuff a long time ahead of time? Because I'm going to jack it up trying to get there. I'm going to have an Ishmael and not an Isaac. Like, just be real. I'm going to try and push it through and make it happen in my own power. And it's going to be all jacked up. And then I'm going to look, I'm like, but God, you said this was going to happen. He's like, said I was going to do it, not you. Right? That's how he talks to me. All right. I said, I was going to do it, not you. Now I can't tell you nothing. You know how many times I can't tell my daughter stuff because they're going to tell everybody? This is why we can't have nice things. No, that's a different story. That's a different conversation we have. I do say that. Stop calling me out on stuff, Kendra. So, like, I'll be like, hey, what about this? You want to do this? She'll come in and be like, we're doing this, Mom. And Mom's like, wait, what? Like, stop it. right? That's our conversation right then. But how many times does God not give us stuff or not open up the thing or makes us wait to get the amazing thing that's coming because we're going to mess it up before we get it? Before we get to be able to use it. We're going to spend the money before we can fix our computer. Sometimes obstacles come to keep us from going in certain directions. And I get that. I'm not saying every obstacle you need to push through it. I'm saying you need to bring everything that you have, every situation that you're in, to God and allow him to lead you through it. Right? Because who put the obstacles in this woman's way in this story? Jesus, the Lord. The obstacle was there. The demon, he didn't send the demon there. The demon was there. The girl was possessed. But she came to him, and on the path to the healing, who threw the obstacles in the way? Jesus. Is Jesus wrong? Well, no, he's not wrong. So if he'll do it in her life, what makes you think that it won't happen in our life? That things won't come to hold us off for now until it's time, until we're ready for it, right? Just think that thought. Look in your word. See it over and over and over. Then Jesus answers her, and her answer, that what she said to him pleased him. Again, like so many people before, the faith that she had, the ability to not stop. Jesus answered, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Her daughter was healed instantly. Man, don't quit. Man, if you don't hear nothing else, don't quit. I got a story. You ready? Or a poem. It's a poem. I'm not really good at poems, but I'm going to read it anyway. This is by T.L. Osborne. It says, "When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems uphill, when the funds are low and the debt is high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when the cares are pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but do not quit. Life is strange, it twists and turns, as all of us sometimes must learn. And many a failure turns about when we might have won, when we might have won had we stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things get worse that you must not quit." We give up far too easily. And how many of you know we're going to get hit harder and harder and harder by the enemy right before we get where we're supposed to be? Have y'all ever noticed it gets really, really cold right before the sun comes up? It drops. Like look at it. It'll drop a couple degrees right before the sun comes up. Why is that? I don't know. It just does. It always gets darker just before the dawn. You've heard that. I don't know that that's a true thing. It just sounded good, so I'm going to throw it in there. But I want to explain something else to you. I'm going to explain how us in ministry stopping doesn't quit. I'm going to give it to you. This is out of John Wesley. You guys have ever heard of John Wesley? This is out of his diary, right? This is going to go from May 5th to June 2nd, right? Sunday morning, May 5th, preached in St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m., May 5th, preached at St. John's, deacon says get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May 12th, priest at St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday p.m., May 12th, priest at St. George, kicked out again. Sunday a.m., May 19th, priest at somebody else's, deacons called a special meeting and said I could not return. Sunday p.m., May 19th, preached on the street, kicked off of the street. Sunday a.m., May 26th, preached in a meadow, chased out of the meadow by a bull turned loose during the service. Sunday a.m., June 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, was kicked off of the highway. Sunday p.m., June 2nd, afternoon service, preached in a pasture, 10,000 people came to hear me. 10,000. Ask not to come back. Don't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. How many times is the world going to tell you you can't? The people around you are going to tell you you can't. But if God has given it to you, don't give up. You don't know how close you are to breakthrough. So in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your problems, man, you have to have the faith to push through. I have to have the faith to push through. Where do we get that faith? Jesus Christ. What he's done. Our past. The past of the people, the testimonies of the people around us that God has done amazing things. Y'all can come back up. I went too long. Sorry. Some of you guys are ready to quit today. Some of you guys in your situation before you walked in the door, you're like, you've already decided, I'm done. I'm not fighting for this anymore. I'm not going to go through this. No matter what it is, no matter whether it's a relationship or whether it's a business, no matter what it is, maybe it's just your walk with Christ. Maybe there's a sickness that you're battling or a family member's battling and you're like, I'm done. I ain't going to God with this no more. Then look, don't give up. God is the only answer. As I spoke last week, Jesus is the only answer for your situation. Point number three of last week, the solution is always Jesus. It's always him. And again, in the midst of our storm, in the midst of our problems, in the midst of what we've going on, what we have going on in our lives, instead of looking at the situation, we need to turn back and look at God and what he's doing in the situation. Even if we don't see it or understand it. How many of you know the disciples were probably there looking like this at Jesus when he was saying the stuff he was saying? I know I was when I read it. I'm like, that doesn't sound like Jesus. Like all the things that I read about him saying that, him ignoring somebody, first of all, and then him calling her a dog, right? You're a dog under the table. I didn't understand it. Hopefully you understand it a little bit better, but get in your word and see that what I'm saying is true. Don't just take my word for it again. Get in there and study it. And when you study it, you'll see things come out that you never understood or saw before. And sometimes in the middle of our situation, we need to just stop and get in our word and start reading it. You say, what is that going to do? He gave us this so that we would understand the principles that govern, that dictate our relationship, our lives. They're all in this book. All of the things we learn in school about how to act as a kid, the golden rule, right? All these principles that the world uses to teach and to train people on what to do and how to do things, they all come from here. They might not give them credit. They might not even know this is where it comes from. But the principles come from here. You reap what you sow. Where does that come from? Bible. How many of you know that's true in your life? In all aspects. You reap what you sow. I'm a jerk to you. You can be a jerk back to me. Right? That's what happens. I'm nice to you. I show you love, grace, and mercy. Might take a minute. How many of you know, sometimes when you plant seeds, you don't come right up. We were all excited about, we had some avocados, man. We was all excited about putting avocados in our yard. We would get avocados aplenty. Until Rob told us it was going to take 5 years to get the first avocado. Like, well, I quit, man. Right? Well, it takes a while. It takes a while when the seed is planted. Don't give up. Don't start being mean to somebody just because they continually are rude and disrespectful and mean to you. Just keep loving them. And then one day when they're falling apart, they're going to come to you and say, why do you treat me this way? Because God loves you and so do I. It may take 10 years. Don't give up. Do you know what happens when we give up? This is Toby principle. You ready? You know what happens when you give up? You make all the suffering and the punishment and the things that you went through of no consequence in your life. You suffered them for nothing. You suffered it for nothing. All this pain, all this issue, all these things that I put up with for so long, I did it for no reason. Why? Because I didn't stand strong and get the benefit of what it was. Just a thought. Why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes. Some of you guys need to have some faith to pull through. Some of you guys are about ready to give up or have given up, and you need to turn back. The promise that God given you, the cool thing about us now is promises are given to all of his children. Jews and Greek alike. Jews and Gentile. We all are his children. If we've accepted him, we can come to God and bring our petitions through Christ Jesus and what he did on the cross. First of all, you'd be like, I have never accepted him. I don't have him. I haven't given my life to him. So maybe I don't have access to God, but I want it. You'd be honest, say, hey, that's me. I need it in my life. I need to give my life to him. I need to turn to him. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? I want us all to say this prayer again. This prayer is just words, as I said earlier. There does have to be a change, and that change takes place inside of us. The newness that comes. The old things pass away. We need to leave some stuff alone. We need to lay it down. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins, things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You sent your Son so that I could have forgiveness, so that I could know your grace, love, and mercy, and so I could give it to others. I accept it now. Help me change. Help me be reborn. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your heads bowed. You're about to give up on some stuff, or maybe you have already, and you're ready to pick it back up. You're ready to give it to God and to walk through it. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You put your hand up and say, I'm giving it back to God right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands all over, man. Don't give up. Keep bringing it to him. Don't get frustrated. Keep bringing it to him. Don't get angry because it hasn't come yet. Keep bringing it to him. And keep looking to him for the difference, not your situation. Don't look to see your situation change, the symptoms change. Look at God and see what he's doing in and through you. That's my advice to you. Dear Heavenly Father, as you saw the hands that were raised, the hearts that raised them, God, whether they're here or again or online, I ask that you would allow us to see you. Not our situation, not the issues, not the problems, not how big everything is, but you and who you are. First of all, let us understand you are the Christ Jesus. You are the access to the Father. You are the one who made all the promises available to us and allowed us to come into God's presence and place things at his feet. Say, God, help me with this. Show me how to get through this. Make me stronger so that when this next wave comes, I'll be able to stand up in it. When this next battle is here, I've already fought it. I already understand. I already have the principles. I already have your word hidden in my heart, so I might not fall. I might not sin against you. I might not have these issues. And I'll be able to walk through it. Not only me, but I'll be able to help other people go through it, God. And that's important. I ask that you'd help us with that now. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God's good to us.
Amen.
He is good to us. Now listen, we got some announcements, man. Be sure and check your papers, all except for the date on the men's breakfast on the 13th. Change it to 8 o'clock. We're going to sleep in an hour. We're going to have some fun. This is what I want you to do as you walk out of here. I want you to look for opportunities to share God's love, grace, and mercy. Look for opportunities to tell people about what he's done in your life. You don't have to bring the Bible out and say, thus saith the Lord on this verse and chapter that he'll do this for you. That's not going to change my life. I mean, like when I didn't live for God, I wouldn't have listened to you. But I'd have shut it off like, thus saith. I'm like, okay, the King James just don't work in my ear holes, right? It just doesn't happen. But be real and share what God has done with you. And change will come not only in your life, but in others. Amen? Stand up. We're going to sing. I don't know what we're singing, but we're going to do it. I saw the light.